This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To football full circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Yes, you are. It is a Football Friday live right here on Football Full Circle. And you all out there listening over the radio airwaves on Sports Grid Radio in Sirius XM channel 159 cannot tell that Joe Lisi and I are right next to each other at the same desk, merely a foot away. We just fist bumped indeed as we are live from Ocean Casino Resort in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Joe, who needs Kansas City when you have Atlantic City, where we were for our Sports Grid draft special last night, covering everything, all 4 hours of round number one of the 2023 NFL draft. We'll be back at it tonight, a 6-hour marathon, 6 p.m. Eastern time until midnight here at the Ocean Casino Resort in AC. But a very fun night number one, a shocking in certain parts night number one, and we get ready for day number two as well.
Oh, fireworks last night, right? Who saw that coming in terms of CJ Stroud, right? The pre-hype process and media madness over Will Levis and CJ Stroud going all the back. Would he be a top 10 pick, right, Ben? Everybody said, well, CJ Stroud, the aptitude test, he wasn't worthy. And all of a sudden, Houston said, no, that's our guy, second best quarterback in this draft class. And then they follow it up with a trade to number 3 with the Arizona Cardinals. They get the best, in my opinion, defensive player in this draft, Will Anderson, an absolute Micah Parsons type of player. Just an absolute dominant force on the defensive side of the ball. And now D'Amico Ryans has potentially two of the top players in this draft. He can now build for year number one.
It was a huge move by the Houston Texans to trade that second pick that they had in the first round, number 12 overall, as well as multiple more draft picks, including a first rounder next year in 2024. A big haul that Arizona receives in return, Joe, but Houston sets the future of their franchise under first-year head coach D'Amico Ryans. C.J. Stroud, second overall. Will Anderson Jr., third overall. First overall, as we all expected, the 2021 Heisman winner out of Alabama, the quarterback in Bryce Young. And Joe, from the odds perspective, which we had followed for the past 2 months, really since the end of the NFL season, even dating back to the end of the college football season, the idea was it was going to be that battle between Stroud and Young for who was going to be the first overall pick. And as we got closer to the draft, it was perceived that number two was not going to be C.J. Stroud. But a half an hour before draft got underway last night, C.J. Stroud flips to a minus 2,000 odds-on favorite to be that second overall selection. So all the smoke, all the lies, all the stories that you heard about where Houston was going to go and that they were not set on a quarterback or Ohio State C.J. Stroud came to not a fruition last night, Joe, as C.J. Stroud goes second overall.
Well, couple of things. I think he solidified that on New Year's Eve night last year, right? Against the defending national champs, 328 yards, four touchdowns, put his team in a position to potentially play for a national championship. After that game, Ben, there was no doubt in my mind, C.J. Stroud was right there with Bryce Young in terms of the second-best quarterback in this draft class. The other thing is, this is the second year in a row now we've seen the hype surrounding a quarterback potentially that could be in the top 10 or even top 5. Or, hey, you know what? Best potential prospect was the rumor about a week and a half ago about Will Levis, right? Will Levis is the guy. After the pro day, he eats and drinks mayo. We saw it with Malik Willis last year. He falls to number the third round. Potentially, Will Levis can do it now as well. And if this is any indication over the last couple of years, guess what? NFL draft betting is very risky.
Very, very risky. I think my number one takeaway, Joe, from the odds perspective, we'll dive into everything else here over these next 2 hours. A special for you, by the way, on FFC. We are here starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time. We'll be with you until we normally get off the airwaves at 1 p.m. Eastern. I think my number one takeaway, Joe, from betting the NFL draft is, first off, recognizing the markets are incredibly volatile. You could enter draft day, where Will Anderson Jr. was a minus 250 favorite up until 6:30 p.m. Eastern time to go second overall, and feel pretty confident about what the odds are telling you, only for it to switch in the final few minutes before the draft gets underway. But that does not mean you cannot find profitability. We saw that in numerous markets last night, Joe, and really at any point, you could have had Bryce Young plus 300 to go first overall to Carolina. You could have had C.J. Stroud earlier this week plus 470 to be that second overall selection. Will Anderson Jr., your third, so on and so forth. There are going to be moments, if you find your right spots, when a number looks lucrative enough, to take a couple of shots, and you'll find some plus money value.
Yeah, like the long-term approach, yeah. Right? Almost like the fundamental stock trading approach of long-term view. Is Bryce Young the top quarterback in this draft class? Is C.J. Stroud worthy of a top five pick? It's the intraday trading and or betting where you get caught. That's where the volatility is in terms of pick number two, pick number three. Will Buffalo pick a wide receiver or a quarterback? That's where the volatility rises in terms of these day-to-day markets. But guess what? We're just getting started. Day one happened last night.
Yeah.
Day two is where these rosters are built for potential wild card and playoff caliber teams.
And that's really going to be the story to start off day number two, which was the story of night number one. Will Levis, who was a projected top five pick, was an odds-on favorite on Tuesday morning to be that second overall selection by the Houston Texans, falls all the way to the second round. Joe, we have both made our points about Will Levis, rather impassioned at times about the idea he was not worthy of a top five or top 10 pick. I do not think we expected it to look like this. We'll continue that conversation up next here on Football Full Circle and the potential landing spots on night number two, where Will Levis might find his future NFL home. All that and more live from Atlantic City on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So, Joe, it will be the story entering day number two of the 2023 NFL draft. Where will Will Levis end up? He was a projected top five pick, a minus 550 favorite as of yesterday afternoon on draft day for the opening round of the 2023 NFL draft. Just 48 hours ago was a minus 1500 favorite, the best odds on the board to be a top five selection. Yet he wasn't top five. He wasn't top 10. He wasn't top 16. He wasn't even top 31, that being the first round selections we had here in 2023. Joe, as day number two gets ready to go here in just about 7 hours, Will Levis is still on the board. Where do you think Will Levis ends up?
Well, if we're talking second round, Ben, I think you have to look at the Rams at 36, maybe a potential backup, or, you know, if Matt Stafford does come back fully for this year, L.A. is a potential spot, number 36. 26 overall, followed by Seattle, right? They signed Geno Smith to a three-year extension. They're looking potentially for maybe his predecessor. He can sit back for a year and then get ready. So that's a possibility. And then the Raiders at 38 overall. Mm. Outside of that, I would look at 41 for the Tennessee Titans. They didn't go quarterback. They went Skoronski with the offensive tackle. They solidified the offensive line to help Derrick Henry in the rushing attack. If we're looking second round, and there's no guarantee that he goes in the second round because we thought Malik Willis potentially would fall last year, maybe in the second round. He went to the third, but I think those are a few teams that are quarterback needy in round number two.
There have already been some reports, Joe Lisi. The Pittsburgh Steelers are currently on the clock. They start round number two tonight with that 32nd overall pick. They have already been receiving calls and interest into that top pick in this second round. It is believed to be for the quarterback out of Kentucky in Will Levis. The team that is favored right now to draft Will Levis, which that would be tonight, of course, that is the Tennessee Titans at plus 230. I don't know if that would be at 41st overall. That might be a trade up the board, Joe. We expected the Titans to be on the move yesterday. They did not move up. They stayed at number 11 overall. They drafted Peter Skoronski, the offensive lineman, out of Northwestern. Joe, let's dive into the Will Levis conversation, because both you and I were very adamant that Will Levis was not deserving of a top 10 pick. His skill set was not that of a top 10 selection in a 2023 NFL draft. He should certainly not go ahead of C.J. Stroud, not even Anthony Richardson. By the way, AR fourth overall to Indianapolis. Why do you think Will Levis has slid here in the draft?
Well, a couple of things. I think, you know, you look at the progression of Zach Wilson, right? A couple of years ago, taking number two overall, a sort of inconsistent passer, didn't step up in big games for the BYU Cougars and failed in terms of the NFL, right? And then you saw Malik Willis fall last year and you say, okay, maybe he wasn't a third round selection. He was worthy of a first round grade. You implement him in terms of the offense late last year in terms of Ryan Tannehill, and he doesn't produce. So if Will Levis didn't produce on a college level against the best teams on his schedule, against teams that were in the SEC conference, have the best speed, best defense alignment, and you can't elevate your game to the next level, who's to say that he's going to do it in year number one in terms of any team right now? And if we're looking big picture in terms of the quarterbacks, we knew about Young, we knew about Stroud. Hendon Hooker was better than Will Levis in terms of the SEC. So if he was 100% healthy, he would be probably taken in the first round. He's still available, and there's no guarantee that Levis does go ahead of Hendon Hooker in round number two.
There is a match bet of sorts for that very idea. Levis, the favored side, minus 340 to go ahead of Hendon Hooker. But Hendon Hooker, the underdog in that perspective, plus 240. Joe, I think it was represented in how we discussed Will Levis. If you watch his tape at Kentucky in 2022, following a successful 2021, his first year as a starter in Lexington, having transferred from Penn State in State College. And when he got to Kentucky in 2021, he was successful. He was brilliant at times. There was optimism and now expectation for last year in Lexington that Will Levis failed to live up to and stayed well under those expectations. You watch the tape, you look at the numbers, you see the results, you see the box scores, as we talked about often, Joe. If those don't matter, then what are we doing here? I'll never look at another box score in my life. It turns out NFL organizations, all 31 of them, and the Dolphins did not pick in the first round, but all 31 teams that selected last night agreed with us that when you look at the tape and you see a quarterback that was expected to be a Heisman contender throw for 19 touchdowns, which was 70th best out of 131 starting FBS quarterbacks last year, he threw for 10 interceptions, he had a QBR of 60.9, 59th best in the country. Joe, that evaluates how you play the quarterback position, and you're 59th best in college, and that's a player that is expected to be a top five pick in the National Football League. It never made sense. And so I think my final point here is the slide is only surprising if you looked at the NFL draft mocks and you looked at the NFL draft odds that predicted Will Levis to be the second overall pick, to be a surefire top five selection. But if you watched him play at Kentucky at all, or you look back at any of the tape from 2022, you would not be surprised by what we are seeing. You would think, all right, Will Levis is a solid day two option for a team if they need quarterback depth, but not their day one starter in the National Football League.
Absolutely. And go back to his days in Happy Valley. Couldn't beat out Sean Clifford, a six-year starter in terms of Penn State, right? And one of the most inconsistent Big Ten quarterbacks. Love him or hate him, Sean Clifford had very high highs and very low lows and cost his team some more big games on their schedule. That's why he transferred to the University of Kentucky. I'll just say this about Will Levis. There's three games in particular that stand out for me. One was obviously in Knoxville against Hendon Hooker. All eyes on both of those teams. Yep. They were 6.5-point dog. It was a Saturday night under the lights in Neyland Stadium, and he did not step up. 98 total yards, three critical interceptions, and they don't just lose, Ben. They get absolutely kicked in the teeth and lose by double digits in that ball game. Yeah. I mean, the throws that they show in the game, in terms of his highlight reel, were late in the second half after the game was already decided because of his poor play in the first half. So that's one game. The Vanderbilt game as well. They were 5-7, under 50% completion percentage. And then the game in Oxford against Lane Kiffin. He leads his team into a position to pull that ball game out. Guess what? He gets strip sacked, fumbled, and his turnover cost his team a critical SEC conference game. And that's why when you look at the tape against the better teams on their schedule last year, he is not worthy, at least in my opinion, of a top first or second round pick. I would put him third or fourth in this draft class.
I think he will go in the second round tonight. I think Hendon Hooker will also go in the second round tonight. By the way, from the odds perspective at this moment, the team that is most likely to draft Hendon Hooker, the Las Vegas Raiders at 4-1. It's a relatively long plus money price, but the Raiders pick 7th in this second round, number 38 overall. So Joe, let's continue to dive through some of the rest of the first round and what stood out last night. Three quarterbacks taken in the top four. We expected a run of quarterbacks here in 2023, but that was it. There was a draft prop out for the total number of quarterbacks taken in the first round at 4.5. The over had the juice entering draft night around a minus 145 price. You stay well under with some plus money. Joe, we saw more defensive players taken last night than offensive players in the first round. That was not what we expected. 16.5, the number for offensive players. The over heavily juiced at minus 400. On the other edge of that coin was defensive players, 14.5, and the under had the heavy juice. We thought we were going to see more offensive linemen than we did. 6.5 was the number. Minus 550 to the over was that favored outcome. We only saw 5. Not as many DBs as we expected, as Joey Porter Jr. still on the board. Brian Branch out of Alabama still on the board as well. Joe, what was the biggest surprise to you overall looking back on the first 31 picks last night?
Bijan Robinson, top 10, because we know about how running backs are valued in this league in terms of life as well, and Saquon Barkley is a great type of example. The fact that Atlanta reached up to grab him, not saying he's not worthy, that was a shock to me.
It was, and the running backs were a huge shock, because not only Bijan Robinson going in the top 10 and 8th overall to Atlanta, Detroit moves back and ends up selecting Jahmyr Gibbs at 12th overall. We'll have that running back conversation up next here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back here on FFC. That is Football Full Circle. It is a Friday in Atlantic City, New Jersey. That's where Joe Lisi and I are. We were here last night for Sports Grid's 2023 NFL Draft Special at the Ocean Casino Resort. We are still here on this Friday morning following round number one, getting ready for day number two, rounds two and three at the 2023 NFL Draft. So, Lisi, we were talking about some surprises last night. It didn't really follow the odds in terms of some of those draft position props, in terms of the overall props that we had last night for number of positional players at this specific position to go here in the first round for the total number of offensive players or defensive players. And one prop, Joe, that did cash to the over, as was expected, running backs. The number was 1.5. The over was at minus 230. We thought there was a chance we would see two running backs taken in the first round. I don't think, Joe, we expected them to be in the top 12 of last night's first round. Bijan Robinson, 8th overall to the Atlanta Falcons. And then the Detroit Lions really pull off the first stunner of the NFL draft last night. At 12th overall, they take Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back who started his college career at Georgia Tech and then spent last year, 2022, in Tuscaloosa as a member of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Joe, both outstanding, dynamic, multi-dimensional players. When they play running back, you can split them out wide. They are incredibly involved in the receiving game. Both translate to the National Football League like a Tony Pollard or an Alvin Kamara. I believe those were a couple of your props last night. But to see two go in the top 12, how surprised were you?
Very surprised. And I'm kicking myself because 2 weeks ago, this draft prop was over 1.5, right, at plus 240.
Yep.
And it immediately went down because Jahmyr Gibbs was hinted to go into the first round. I say hinted, that a lot of the draft scouts had him and GMs ahead of Bijan Robinson. So that wasn't the surprise that potentially Jahmyr Gibbs would be a late round draft pick.
Yeah.
Expecting him to go to the Detroit Lions at number 12 overall, I think, was the biggest shock. They lose Jameson Williams for 6 games this year. Quintez Cephas is gone. Yep. They have a number of needs offensively, and they just seem to love drafting running backs. Kerryon Johnson a few years ago, right? That never panned out. DeAndre Swift. I understand why they did it, but do they have to reach up and grab Jahmyr Gibbs at number 12 overall? I think they could even potentially gotten him maybe in the second round, right? I mean, I understand the thunder and lightning type of concept. You always need that in terms of your offensive philosophy, but at number 12 overall, you could have went a different position. You could have taken JSN there for Detroit, right? Yeah. And really solidified the wide receiver core. You lose Hockenson last year. I mean, I don't know what they're doing. Only time will tell to see how this offense is. And Atlanta as well, one of the worst statistical defenses in the NFL. They screwed it up a couple of years ago by taking Kyle Pitts when they could have went Sertan or even Justin Fields. Last year they had Algier, and he was great, Tyler Algier. Yeah. So you tell me, you really had to grab Bijan Robinson at number 8 overall?
So a couple of things. We'll start with Jahmyr Gibbs, because again, there was steam for him to be a first round pick, but at 12th overall, after the Lions trade out of that number 6 spot, Joe, and they make a couple of moves that we thought, all right, here they go. Here's where they're going to start to acquire some draft capital. It's what Brad Holmes did. Arizona trades back to 12. They trade back up to 6 with Detroit to go get an offensive lineman out of Ohio State in Paris Johnson Jr. to bolster that offensive line to keep Kyler Murray active playing, unlike he will be for most of 2023. So they trade back, they're accumulating draft picks, like good moves. And then at 12th overall, where running back is not a need, yes, Jamal Williams is no longer there, but DeAndre Swift still is, might not be for all that long, but still is right now. And you acquire David Montgomery in the offseason to fill that gap of Jamal Williams. And then you go get Jahmyr Gibbs, who, again, this is nothing about the prospect himself or the talent that Gibbs has. He is going to be a game breaker at times. He is sensational, but it's about value in the NFL draft. He was minus 180, Joe, was Jahmyr Gibbs earlier this week to be a first-round selection. Heavily favored to go in the first 31 picks, but we did not expect it here. The teams that were favored to pick Jahmyr Gibbs on Monday, the Bills, Bengals, and Cowboys. They were originally slated to draft 26, 27, and 28. So we thought he'd be a first rounder that early in the first. No, and it's about the value of making sure that although you believe in the talent of this prospect wholeheartedly, that you take advantage of where you have these picks and these valuable draft assets early on in the first round. It's also why Bijan Robinson, despite being a game breaker, despite as a prospect probably having one of the 5 best talent skill sets in all of this 2023 NFL draft, when you look at all the needs Atlanta needs to fill, the Falcons had the lowest win total, or one of the lowest win totals in the National Football League last year at 5.5, with all the dirty birds need to fill. A running back, when they had Tyler Algier in success last year running the football with Algier, the rookie out of BYU, to take a running back in that spot when you need to do so much else is a very peculiar decision.
And now you have to look long-term view in terms of the win totals, right? How does this translate to wins and losses next year for both Detroit and Atlanta, respectively? Detroit is expected now to win the division without Aaron Rodgers there, right? You have Jared Goff. You have Justin Fields for Chicago. Chicago. You have Jordan Love starting for Green Bay. So it is there for the taking. Is Jahmyr Gibbs going to bring you over the top?
Yeah.
Immediate impact to say this now is a division title winner or the leader of the pack. They still have to play the Minnesota Vikings, right? How good has Dalvin Cook been over the last couple of years? Not very good in the sense of now he's starting to tail off, right? Dalvin Cook wasn't utilized the same way with O'Connell this year or last year, excuse me, as he was in years past in terms of that bell cow. He's a situational player, Jahmyr Gibbs. He's not going to carry the rock 25 times in that offense. He's going to be maybe 10, 15 touches, whether, you know, split between running and catching the football. Okay, that's great. Again, is it immediate success, or could you have filled an immediate need somewhere else with a Jackson Smith Njigba, and all of a sudden your offense is humming because you have to make up for Jamison Williams?
So the Detroit Lions right now have a win total of 9.5, and the over has the juice at minus 122. They are the favorites to win the NFC North at plus 130. All four teams have a plus money price. What's interesting, Joe, they're the favorites to win a division. If you win a division, obviously you get to host a playoff game. That should be a surefire playoff team. The Lions' odds to make the playoffs are just minus 122. Not very heavily favored to get into the postseason, yet they are the favorites to win what many would consider an up in the air division. The Atlanta Falcons, meanwhile, a win total of 5.5, and the under has the heavy juice at minus one. Oh, that's the, excuse me, that is the Arizona Cardinals. I clicked the wrong button. 8.5 is that number for the Falcons. No disrespect, Falcons fans. Minus 110, both sides. That seems very lofty for Atlanta regardless. So that was some of the surprises, Joe, in a potentially negative slant. Then Detroit drafts Jack Campbell at 18th overall, the middle linebacker out of Iowa, who is as good as you will find, but he was not favored to be that first linebacker off the board. That was Drew Sanders out of Arkansas, so some plus money there for Campbell. If you watch Jack Campbell, you know he is going to be successful. I think he's going to be a multiple-time all-pro linebacker in the National Football League for hopefully a very long and successful career. But again, with all Detroit needed to do, two surprising picks of where they were selected, not their talent, but where they were selected. Jahmyr Gibbs at 12th, Jack Campbell at 18th overall. Now, Joe, to a positive spin. I don't know. Yes, Houston traded up and got 2 and 3. They gave up a lot for that third overall pick in Will Anderson Jr., but they have the cornerstones of their franchise now, offensively and defensively, to build around with a first-year head coach in D'Amico Ryans. But outside of that, Joe, the winner of the night has to be Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles. They get Jalen Carter at 9th overall. They trade up by 1 to get that 9th overall pick, originally with the Chicago Bears, who then stayed at 10 to draft the offensive lineman out of Tennessee, Darnell Wright. But at 9, they get Jalen Carter. And then at 30th overall, their second to last pick of that first round, they take Nolan Smith, another edge rusher out of Georgia. Joe, in the last 2 years, in the first 3 rounds of the NFL draft, Philadelphia has now selected 4 Georgia defensive players from that all-world defense, all-decade type defense, maybe all-college football history type defense in 2021 for the Georgia Bulldogs. They already have Jordan Davis. I don't know why I'm blanking on that. They already have Jordan Davis. They already have N'Kobe Dean. They add in Jalen Carter and now Nolan Smith. They have 4 players from the 2-time defending national champion Georgia Bulldogs on their defense. And to get Jalen Carter where you did, who with his football talent alone, many feel is the best player in this draft, and Nolan Smith, who was an even money favorite, plus 100 to be a top 10 pick, to get him at 30th overall, Joe, that was one of the more surprising slides genuinely last night. But to get Carter and Smith, 2 great defensive players from a great defensive program under Kirby Smart in Athens at UGA, Howie Roseman, Joe, keeps getting away with it, and he keeps making big moves on draft night.
Huge moves, and again, great across the board, and it started last year with the A.J. Brown trade to get and acquire one of the best wide receivers to solidify that offense with Jalen Hurts, and it's a big picture. I mean, when you look at Philadelphia right now, the ability to have dominant run stuffers, right? Not just pass rushers, but run stuffers, because Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter are 2 mammoth guys. Jordan Davis, 6'6", around 330 pounds. Now Carter comes in around 325 pounds. They are they're going to force double teams for players like N'Kobe Dean and the other linebackers to stuff the rushing attack. And when you could shut down the run now,
yep,
because that's where the evolution of the NFL has changed. They've gone back to more running the football. It's more balanced. He sees that, and now he solidifies this defense an unbelievable, unbelievable first round for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Joe, in the modern draft era, that dates back to 1994, and this seven-round format the NFL has gone with. Last year, Georgia had 15 overall draft selections. It was the most in a single draft for a football program. Five of them first-rounders, all on the defensive side of the football. They add two more last night. More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live on FFC right here from Atlantic City, New Jersey, Ocean Casino Resort, where we are headquartering our Sports Grid draft coverage. The people are here. They're loving it. Let's ask the fans. The biggest surprise of the first round last night, what was it? You think that was a surprise? Anthony Richardson going fourth overall. Fair enough. I think it was a surprise to a lot of people. He was plus 115 to be a top five pick. So a little bit of plus money for you. It flipped very at the – we're talking to the people here on Football Full Circle. Half an hour before – but you do know what you're talking about. But half an hour before the draft, C.J. Stroud became a minus 6,000 favorite to be the second overall pick. But as of yesterday afternoon, it was a plus 550 price. So there was some crazy late movement and late steam.
Ask them about Will Levis now.
How do you guys feel about Will Levis being still available for a round of – yeah? Yeah, they put him on screen a ton last night for the draft coverage. You know who doesn't do that? Well, we think maybe 32nd overall, which is the first pick tonight. The Steelers have it right now, but they've received a ton of calls, and a lot of the belief out in NFL draft circles, although they were very wrong last night, is that it's for Will Levis to trade up and to take the quarterback out of Kentucky. So we'll see. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
See, that's the fan interaction you have when you are live at the Ocean Casino Resort. Who needs a call-in line, Lisi?
That's it.
When you have the in-person fan interaction, the Ocean Casino Resort here on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, nothing better. Again, AC might be greater than KC. They have better barbecue, no doubt about it. We probably have better blackjack tables and craps tables and slot machines. Anyway, as we keep diving through, Joe, the first round and our takeaways last night. Of course, Philadelphia, just an incredible, incredible successful run now for two consecutive years. Four defensive players in the first three rounds out of the last two NFL drafts from a dominant Georgia defense in both 21 and 2022. Joe, it does bear repeating that Jalen Carter does have some off-field concerns. He pled no contest to two misdemeanor charges back in the middle of March for his role in what ended up being a fatal accident that took the life of a former Georgia football staffer and his former Georgia teammate in Devin Willock. He was found for two misdemeanor charges in that accident, Joe, for reckless driving and racing. However, that has been settled, at least to the point that he will not serve any jail time. His future in the NFL, now his focus. From a football-only perspective, Joe, again, a lot of bright NFL minds had Jalen Carter as the top prospect, regardless of position, regardless of side of the football, in this draft. And the Eagles move up only by one pick to get him, to solidify a defensive line last year, Lisi, that led the National Football League in sacks with more than 70. It was the second most in a single season in National Football League history, only behind the 85 Bears. And then you add Jalen Carter, and then you add an edge rusher in Nolan Smith as well. Howie Roseman, Joe, I know he's smiling very early on this Friday morning.
Well, he's done a fantastic job. There's a couple of things here to digest, right? You take the best defense in college football potentially over the last couple of years. They get top five talent in terms of the high school and JUCO talent,
yeah,
right? And Kirby Smart has built his program eerily similar to Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa, and you coach that talent up, right? Especially on the defensive side of the ball. That's where Nick Saban Irving and Kirby Smart have made their mark, right? So it's a perfect foundation and blueprint to do the same thing on the NFL level. And now, again, when you look at the teams that they're going to have to shut down, big picture, we're not looking just in the division right. in terms of Dak Prescott, Tony Pollard, and that offensive attack. And now with Daniel Jones and what they have with the New York Giants or even Washington with Sam Howell at the helm. You look big picture, the teams that they have to face, potentially Kansas City again, Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. I'm talking big picture Super Bowl. You have to be able to get pressure on the quarterback and shut down the run effectively. And with Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, you have two players that are going to be mainstays for 5 to 10 seasons potentially, just the way their player Fletcher Cox was and led them to a Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. The other thing I want to bring up is that Roseman has done a fantastic job not just recruiting and scouting Georgia. The SEC as a whole, right? Look at the offensive side of the ball. He's built his team from winning programs. Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, national champions. A.J. Brown, one of the best players in the SEC with DK Metcalf at Ole Miss and Oxford. There's a reason why the SEC is mentioned. I know we could get into a healthy debate, Ben, about which conference is better because the Big Ten stepped up this year in the draft. But it's been known the SEC is the best conference because of the speed and the defensive talent that they have. And listen, I know, here we go.
I don't argue that the Big Ten is a better overall football conference than the SEC. This year, 9 first-round draft selections out of both the Big Ten and the SEC. The Big 12 had 6. The ACC had 4. The Pac-12 had 3, Joe. Again, only 31 draft selections in our round number 1 last night. But it was the first time in the common draft era, dating all the way back to 1967, that all players were drafted from a Power 5 or major conference school. That should show you where the talent is going in college football. But who can argue what Georgia has done defensively the last 2 years? 7 first-rounders now, Joe. 7 first-rounders. When you look, obviously, at Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith, and I do want to get into the slide of Nolan Smith because it was really surprising. But Trayvon Walker, of course, the edge rusher out of Georgia, first overall pick last year by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then at number 15, or 13 overall, excuse me, Jordan Davis, the big man in the middle out of UGA. The Packers select Quay Walker at 22nd overall last year. Devontae Wyatt, another defensive player from Georgia, also goes to Green Bay. And then Lewis Seen at the end of the first round last year, 32nd overall to Minnesota, a safety out of Georgia. That is 5 last year, 2 this year, 7 in total in the first round in the last 2 years, all defensive. Defensively, it is just astronomical in speech to why the Bulldogs, under Kirby Smart, won their first national championship in more than 4 decades in 2021 and said, wow, it's been a while since we won one natty. Let's go get 2. And they're back-to-back defending national champions, Joe, and the favorites to enter this new college football season as that team to win another national championship.
And think about the pro days and combines of those players that you mentioned. Jordan Davis, 6'6", 342 pounds in Georgia, so he slims down 10 pounds. He runs a 4.7 40, Ben. Nolan Smith, 6'3", 235. He was the fastest defensive lineman at the combine.
4.4.
Are you kidding me?
You're not supposed to be
the wide receiver.
You're not supposed to be that large, certainly Jordan Davis-like, and run that fast. It is terrifying if you play the quarterback position or a running back anywhere.
You know what's next? They're going to hire the strength coach for the University 100%. Of Georgia. That'll be next.
I mean,
Roseman, give him $3 million.
I think there's going to be a red carpet for Howie Roseman when he strolls into Athens, whenever that might be.
2 years ago, prior to A.J. Brown, though, they wanted to kill him. Right before, right.
Think about 3 years ago.
Right.
4 years ago now in the NFL draft. Drafting Jalen Hurts.
Right.
Second round, they thought he was an idiot. What a run it has been for Howie Roseman over the past 2 weeks. The huge contract extension with Jalen Hurts, and of course, great success last night in the 2023 NFL draft. I think Philadelphia, Joe, a clear winner. But speaking of quarterbacks earning a 5-year contract extension and a team bolstering the roster around him, huge news yesterday as we got ready for the NFL draft. Finally, at long last, the conversation is over. Lamar Jackson Watson has been extended by the Baltimore Ravens, a five-year, $260 million deal, making Lamar the highest-paid player in National Football League history on an annual average basis. $185 million guaranteed as well, Joe. Lamar Jackson, despite it taking a very long time, is the future for the flock in Baltimore.
And now they're definitely a playoff contender and, more importantly, a Super Bowl contender. He's happy. The team now can move on. Now you have to build talent around them. They draft a wide receiver yesterday in terms of Zay Flowers. That obviously will help Rashad Bateman and that offense be more balanced. You can't go into the playoffs being a one-trick pony, right? Run the football and hope to get out of Dodge. We saw that. You need balance. You have to be able to run the football accordingly, and then if that's shut down, your quarterback has to be able to chuck it all over the yard, and now he has weapons. Again, is it an elite wide receiver core? Only time will tell.
Right.
But it's a step in the right direction. All I'll say is we knew that he was worthy of $52 million a year. What, like, really, this should have been done a year ago.
And
if it took Hurts to get him to this level, well, then kudos for both of those players because they're both deserving, especially after Jalen Hurts stepped up in the Super Bowl last year.
Jalen Hurts, a historic record-setting Super Bowl performance, albeit in a loss to Patrick Mahomes in the Kansas City Chiefs, but Lamar Jackson, a former NFL MVP. Joe, there are three current players in the National Football League that have won an MVP award. They're all quarterbacks. They all play in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson. Deserving of this contract. Now a bright future, a positive future, hopefully, for that Ravens organization. A new offensive scheme under another former Georgia guy in Todd Monken, who becomes the new OC in Baltimore. But Odell Beckham Jr. is now there. If he is healthy, he can be a top five wide receiver in the National Football League. Hopefully, Rashad Bateman, another first-round pick 3 years ago in the NFL draft, who has been really unhealthy in his first 2 years in the NFL, can remain a little bit healthier entering 2023. And you mentioned it, Joe. Zay Flowers, 22nd overall. His draft position prop, 22.5. He stays under by the hook. I thought it was a great move for Baltimore because, Joe, we see a lot of teams that have these quarterbacks of the future. At times, you think they should build only around the quarterback, and they make a draft selection that leaves you maybe just scratching your head a little bit, saying that's your guy, he's your face of your franchise, he's your cornerstone, build around him. It was a big thing for Baltimore yesterday, I think, to build around Lamar on the day they get the contract extension done, to give him another offensive piece at his disposal. And Zay Flowers, Joe, the first wide receiver in the history of Boston College football to be taken in the first round, it was a really good move from Eric DaCosta and the flock. And I think Zay Flowers is going to be a very dynamic and successful wide receiver for the next level.
Yeah, he's a slot guy, right? Much like Jalen Waddle, that pocket rocket type of player, explosive plays, led Boston College in all-time receptions. Now, that's not saying a lot. Gerard Phelan is probably the most renowned Boston
pocket
College.
Rocket?
No, renowned wide receiver in Boston College history. But this gives an added dimension for Lamar Jackson and that offense. Personally, if it was me, I would have went Jordan Addison because he was still on the board. I think Jordan Addison is a better route runner. I think he could be utilized in more ways than maybe Zay Flowers. But again, you're still getting a playmaker that could take the top off opposing defenses, run off the linebackers and nickelbacks to allow that offense to run the football effectively. You need speed on the perimeter, and that's what obviously Zay Flowers brings. And had spotty quarterback play in year two with Phil Jurkovec. So his numbers could have been even better potentially in the ACC last year.
I mean, he was the only bright spot for Boston College last year after a very successful 2021 under Jeff Hafley with Phil Jurkovec, and obviously Zay decided to stay, and there was a ton of rumors. There's two really wide receivers, Joe, in the NIL markets last year that were a big topic of conversation. Jordan Addison, of course, leaving Pittsburgh as the Biletnikoff winner to go to Southern California, and then Zay Flowers, who apparently was rumored multiple huge NIL deals, and he decided to stay at BC. We'll get into a couple of players, Joe, that were a little bit on a slide, and that included some wide receivers, because Warren Sharp made the point to us on our NFL draft broadcast last night. We got to pick number 20. We hadn't seen a wide receiver go off the board yet, and then we saw four in a row. We'll talk about that and some other players that moved down the board in the opening round up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC. We are not done, though, at the end of this hour. Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, normally just a one-hour show, a two-hour special here for day number two of the 2023 NFL Draft. And, Joe, as we round out this opening hour, a couple of players that slid last night, at least based on relative expectation, that really started with the wide receivers. Again, not a single wideout selected in the first 19 picks last night. The wide receiver we expected to go first off the board, in fact, did. Jackson Smith and Jigba, the wide receiver out of Ohio State. He goes 20th overall, Joe, to Seattle. But his draft position prop was 12.5. And yes, the over had the heavy juice. It was expected 13th or later, but we did not think he would be around in the early 20s. But once a wide receiver went, all of them seemed to go. JSN, 20th overall to Seattle. Quinton Johnston, the big wideout out of TCU, 21st overall to the Los Angeles Chargers. Zay Flowers, as we discussed, to Baltimore at 22nd overall, and then Jordan Addison rounds out that four wide receiver streak, 23rd overall to the Minnesota Vikings. Joe, out of those four wide receivers, who do you think has the brightest future in the National Football League?
I think it's JSN. I really do. Him and Addison to me, and that's not a knock on the other guys, but at the end of the day, I think they are two of the best wide receivers in this class for a couple of reasons. So when you look at Smith and Jigba, his ability in big games to catch after the run, the ability to separate, catch the football at its highest point. And I know he struggled with drops in some games, but at the end of the day, when you watch him on film, all he does is produce, especially in Ohio State's biggest games. Now, he didn't play last year. We understand what happened. But at the end of the day, he's going to be, I believe, the best wide receiver, him and Addison, because of their big play ability.
I think all of them, Joe, want to just incredible situations.
Yeah.
Jackson Smith and Jigba now gets to pair with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf in Seattle. Fantastic. You have Quinton Johnston with the rookie, or not the rookie, the fourth-year quarterback, Justin Herbert, in Los Angeles with the new offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. We talked about Zay Flowers and Jordan Addison in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson. Sensational. Hour two, Football Full Circle, next.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.